You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. It's myself, Mo Mutsu, alongside me as always, three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ, what's good?
Real name, no gimmicks, and we gonna give the people what they want.
Oh, an unbelievable NBA action.
It really was unbelievable. Every game really was unbelievable. I guess game two probably
was. No. The entire night was unbelievable. First reason, the Knicks are up 3-1. Going back home to Madison Square Garden, you expect them to close out the series. They lose in heartbreaking fashion. Orlando-Cleveland. Orlando's won the last two. All the momentum's with them. Jarrett Allen is out injured for the Cavs. You're expecting them to take the lead. The Cavs win. And it goes right down to the wire. And then the Milwaukee Bucks are up 3-1. There's no Dame. There's no Giannis. You're expecting them to win. Oh, no. The Indiana Pacers are up. My bad. And then the Milwaukee Bucks win. And Patrick Beverley and Bobby Portis put on a masterclass. So let's break it down, BJ. The Sixers and the Knicks. A battle of two point guards. Tyrese Maxey, 46 points. Jalen Brunson, 40 points. The Knicks lose the game, 112 to 106. At home, they're going to have to go on the road to Philly to try to close this one out. And I really thought the Knicks had this in the bag. They were up by 6 points with about 30 seconds left in the game until Tyrese Maxey decides to come down the floor and hit an insane logo three and then another one to send this game to overtime. Now, not only did Tyrese Maxey save his team from elimination, he also saved his teammate because Joel Embiid was having a stinker. Another elimination game where Joel Embiid doesn't show up when it matters most. Because if we look at the fourth quarter of what happened in tonight's game, Joel Embiid in the fourth quarter, 1 from 4 from the field and 4 turnovers. He finished with 9 turnovers on the night, went 7 from 19 from the field. And the key part here, the Knicks did a great job of guarding him without fouling. He only got to the line 6 times, which is why he only scored 19 points. But once again, it looked like a case of when the lights are the brightest, Joel Embiid can't produce. And I know everyone says, oh, he's injured. Okay, they say that every single year. So at some point, we're just going to have to accept the fact that he's not built for the 82-game regular season. And this is just the reality because he's 30 years old now. So if you say he's injured, he's playing one leg, you say that to me every single year. That's his excuse every year. Joel Embiid, when facing elimination in elimination games, has the lowest three-point percentage and the second lowest field goal percentage by an MVP in elimination games in NBA history. You know when the game's on the line, it isn't important, your team's about to get eliminated, you need your best players to step up. If you're an MVP, it's time to step up. But once again, he did not step up, and the conversations today would be completely different because everyone's going to sweep this under the rug because everyone's focused on Tyrese Maxey making those shots. But if Tyrese Maxey doesn't make one of those crazy shots, on one of which he traveled on, it would have been another elimination game stinker for Joel Embiid.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to say this. I'm going to focus in on the content of this game. Tyrese Maxey was simply amazing. I mean, the kid played about 50 something minutes overtime. He had 46 points on the road. And he matched Brunson literally point for point. I mean, those guys, two smaller guards, both of them have 40 points. And, you know, Brunson is just putting up massive numbers. I don't know what his averages are from the series.
Yeah, and he started off not being a great series for him statistically, and he's found a way.
But, you know, the fact, you know, I am, you know, it's really funny. When you watch these guards get up the amount of shots that they're getting, I'm thinking to myself now, maybe I played in the wrong generation. I mean, played in the wrong era.
Yeah, Tyrese Maxey took 30 shots tonight, and Jalen Brunson took 32 shots tonight.
I mean,
BJ, imagine a world where you got 30 shots in a game.
I mean, think of this. Imagine a world where you come to a game and you see 62, 64 shots being launched from just the point guard position, right? I mean, that's pretty good. Give the Sixers credit because the Sixers easily could have won one or both of those games in game one or two.
Yeah, and it's evened out now because the Knicks could have easily won this game today. So it's evened out, and now it's 3-2.
Yeah, now it's 3-2. Now, you know, as I was watching the game, and, you know, when you play, you play. So there's no mistakes, there's no blame, and there's no excuses. I'm really concerned about the left leg or the left knee of Joel Embiid. He's really favoring that. Okay, when you watch him jump, he doesn't even want to land on it now. Okay, and as he plays, and I know he's trying to gut it out, but this is not good. I think right now, and it's especially not good, and it's obvious to me now of why they're playing the offense that they're playing. I mean, literally, they're just putting Joel Embiid in every offensive option because he can't.
You saw that in the fourth quarter. You know, the Embiid and Maxi pick and roll was working well, but then the fourth quarter, they just gave the ball to Joel on the post because he just didn't have the legs for it.
Yeah, but I'm talking about on the defensive end.
Oh, you're talking about what the Knicks are doing.
What the Knicks are doing. And there's nothing he can do. So, but it was a great effort. I really thought the Knicks had this one in the bag. And that just, and again, I made a mistake in watching the game. I was like, oh, this game's over. Good for the Knicks. They're going to close it out. They're up 6 with about 40-something seconds to go.
Yeah, and I think it's the first ever time in the playoffs a team being down 6 with 30 seconds to go in an elimination game.
Elimination game.
Managed to come back.
Yes. So that was my fault because I know better. The game's never over. And I couldn't believe what I was watching. I couldn't believe what I saw. But this is the NBA and anything is possible. I mean, how about this? A 4-point play at that critical moment, right? I mean, that's just unacceptable. But it happened. And then he follows that up with, a three-pointer, right?
Yeah, another one.
Yeah, so he just, it was unbelievable. They get to overtime, and then Tyrese Maxey, he was simply sensational. So, you know, I want to see what's going to happen. I want to see what the Philly faithful are going to do. I am a little interested about the off-court antics of how the Knicks took over the building. Mm-hmm. I want to see if the Philly faithful are going to show up. Great job. And I don't know what the Knicks can do. I mean, Mitchell Robinson gutted it out. He gutted it out, but they're going to need everything they can do. And as you know, Mo, the most hardest game of the series is always a closeout game. So,
yep. And this reminds me of 2013. In 2013, the Knicks were probably the most exciting they've been since 97. They came into the playoffs as the 2 seed, and they went up against my Celtics in the playoffs that year in the first round. And they were up 3-1 in that one, went home to Madison Square Garden to close out, and they couldn't get it done. They lost to a Jeff Green-led Celtics team. And then they went on the road and closed it out 4-1 eventually to go on and face the Indiana Pacers in the next round. So history may repeat itself this time with the Knicks going on the road to close this out and face the Pacers. But we got to talk about the Pacers. But before that, we're going to talk about the Magic and the Cavaliers, because Evan Mobley's not been having the best series for him, especially defensively. They were kind of going at him a little bit, but he came up huge with the game-saving block on Franz Wagner. Actually, wait. Before we get into that, BJ, I got a question for you. If you're the Knicks and you're up 3 with time on the clock, why would you not just foul Tyrese Maxey before he takes his shot and send him to the free throw line to shoot 2 and then you get the ball back? Why would you not do that?
Well, I think it's just a defensive philosophy. And I think one of the philosophies that coaches have, you know, it's like a 50-50 call, is you have to depend on your defense to get stops. And yes, you can play the percentages, which some coaches favor. And then you also, there's some coaches who favor, I believe in my defense. And Tom Thibodeau, as you know, his reputation has always been defense. So they've done, by all accounts, they've done a really good job defensively with this group, with the exception of really Maxey just having an explosive game. I guess by all accounts, Embiid, he had a 50-point game here. But overall, I think they match up fairly well with this team. So I think it's just a gut call. It's a feel. You can second guess it. But to me, you know, this is a team that I feel that they have the confidence that they can get a stop when they need one. And certainly, you know, I'm sure they feel very confident coming down the stretch, as they should, because they've displayed that all year, especially under a Tom Thibodeau team.
Well, moving back to the Cavaliers, Evan Mobley, 14 points, 13 rebounds, two steals and two blocks. And one of those blocks saved the game as Franz Wagner decided to try take a right-handed layup from the left-hand side of the basket whilst being guarded by Evan Mobley. A horrendous decision, especially considering his teammate, Paolo Banchero, had scored 39 points in the game and you don't give him the final shot. Okay, I respect the confidence, but Franz, you were 3 from 11 tonight. That ain't the shot that you want to be taking. It went back and forth down the stretch. The Cleveland Cavaliers run away with the 104-103 win before the series heads back to Orlando for game number 6. And what are your thoughts from this game?
Well, you know, listen, I thought the Orlando Magic had a better than average opportunity to win this game, and they showed up.
But we say all the time, the Cavs are always better when one of their guys is injured. You saw that. And even though you could see them sorely missing Jarrett Allen on the boards, there were so many offensive rebound possessions down the stretch because Mobley's guarding Banchero. Whenever he gets a shot up, that just leaves Wendell Carr Jr. to clean up the glass. But
you know, it's sometimes you're better by subtraction, and that looks to be the case with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, but I'm going to say this. Big effort by Marcus Morris. Okay.
Yep. He came up big, 12 points off the bench.
Okay. You know, that's a terrific, terrific, you know, contribution to a team when they needed it most. I mean, they needed every point that they got to win this game, to escape with a victory. So we'll see how this goes back. I expect Orlando to be fired up when they get back to, what is it, the Amway Center, whatever it is down there.
It's got a new name. I don't know what it's called. And they don't sponsor us, so I ain't even going to say it.
Yeah, so I expect them to be fired up, ready to go. And I'm looking for, I think this is going to go 7.
Yep.
And even though I always favored a home team in a game 7, I'm going to give this Magic team, I think they're just young enough to not realize what's going on, and they have a shot. So I expect them to win game 6, and then it's anybody's game. And I think Orlando has a good chance to do it. I mean, they played well. I thought it was going to be competitive. They have every they had a chance to win it. Okay? And that's all you can ask for. So if they can get back there again, I think they will feel good about themselves. And you know, game 7, sometimes they can get a little tight, Mo, as you know.
Yeah. Well, the Indiana Pacers and the Milwaukee Bucks. BJ,
I'm going to leave this alone because I don't want to say
show,
something.
No. I'm going to say gonna, it. I'm going to okay, say yeah. it. On yeah, this you, show, you I've joked be. Before about Tyrese Halliburton's superstar subscription free trial expiring earlier in the season. How the hell did I just watch a game where you have the chance to close out your opponent on the road? They're missing their two best players, and Patrick Beverley is the best point guard on the court. I just want to know how that's possible. I just want to know.
I don't know what's. I'm going to leave this one alone because, I mean, okay, you have one bad game, and I.
But
okay,
it's not even it's a bad possible. Game. The last two quarters of the last game were bad as well. They were lucky to run away with the win in the last game to give them the 3-1 lead in the series.
Game 1, the Pacers were just awful. Well, but this is just now. It's getting to be what's wrong with this team. Now I'm like, okay, what is going on here? Because, well, they're losing. They don't, okay. They have one star out. Okay, all right. No, Dame has a game in game 1, whatever. He was 30-some points in the first half. So you're like, okay, all right. Well, now they don't have Dame or Giannis. And you're losing by, how many points did they lose by tonight?
115 to 92, but the lead was even bigger than that at times.
This just doesn't make sense to me in a must game like this. So I don't know what to think of this team.
BJ,
all I can say is, you know, Milwaukee could easily go up there and win a game.
Well, BJ, here's what you're going to be happy about, because everyone makes the jokes about Doc Rivers throwing away the 3-1 leads in the playoffs. But if he makes this team come back from 3-1 down without Dame and without Giannis, no one can make those jokes anymore. But the good news for the Bucks fans is Dame and Giannis might be back for game 6. Then everyone's in trouble.
I don't know what's going on with the Pacers. It's kind of like a, you know, it's like a, I feel like they're sabotaging themselves or something. I don't know.
And I think the Bucks took this one personally, though, after the game winner in the last game. They were fired up for this. Bobby had 29. Chris Middleton had 29. Beasley had 18. Pat Bev had 13 and 12 assists. Pat Connaughton gave them 9 off the bench. We even saw Danilo Gallinari play 20 minutes, which is insane in the year 2024. Whereas over for the Indiana Pacers, no player on the team even cracked 20 points. And Doc Rivers did some stuff defensively that kind of threw them off. But come on, man. God, this is bad.
I don't know what to...
This is bad.
I'm just going to leave this one alone.
Yeah. Let's predict some nice games.
Okay.
Let's predict some nice games. Celtics up 3-1 against the Heat.
You know your Celtics.
But here's the one that we already got to talk about. 2-2. Dallas Clippers. Kawhi's out. Luka's knee is heavily taped up. He's clearly struggling with it. I'm leaning Clippers for this one tonight.
Well, I didn't even think about this. Maybe I should try to go to this game. This is going to be...
You should definitely try to go to this game. And then, do you know what you should do after that? Do you know what you should do after that? You should send me a plane ticket so I can come to LA for game 7. That's what you should do after that. I think the listeners will agree.
Yeah, okay. It's suddenly my responsibility now. Okay, that's fine.
Uncle BJ, come through for me.
Yeah, back to the game at hand.
Who you got winning this? Because both teams have won a game on the opponent's floor now.
I'm going to go Clippers at home. I'm going to go Mavericks at home. And then if there's a game 7, I'm going to try to attempt that game.
If there's a game 7, I'll go Luka Doncic in that game 7.
I'm going to try to attend the game. I think that's how it plays.
What's crazy is Kyrie's been Dallas's best player in the series so far. That's the crazy part.
I know. And Luka's had like 2 triple doubles. I mean, it's crazy. The things we say sometimes, and you're not wrong, by the way, but this guy's had 2 triple doubles and we're like, and the other guy is the better player in the series. I mean, it's just, we hold them to such a high standard, but I think you're right for sure.
By the way, just going back to that Indiana Pacers, Milwaukee Bucks, this was the first time ever a team's been without their 2 top scorers and won in the playoffs.
I can only imagine what Rick Carlisle must be thinking as a coach, because you got to win the games you're supposed to win. And now if Dame and Giannis come back and win the series, I mean, well, what do you say? Like, I trust you guys next year. What do you say to this group?
No, you can't trust them. If you throw away a 3-1 lead against a team missing their 2 best players, I say, get the hell out of here and never come back. That's what I would say.
I know.
But that's just me. That's why I'm not a coach. I don't know what you say. I don't know, but you better win the next one. That's all I'm saying. Because game 7s, anything can happen in a game 7.
Right.
You better get home for game 6 and handle your business. That's that.
I couldn't agree more.
That's that. And maybe they will, and we won't need to worry about this. But the playoffs keep rolling. We'll be back tomorrow, hopefully celebrating the Celtics advancing. And I hope the Celtics have been keeping one eye on this Orlando Magic, because I think they can cause some real problems for Boston. But that's a whole nother conversation. And we'll be breaking down Dallas versus the Clippers. So make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. Appreciate each and every one of you who supports us. BJ, appreciate you as always. And until next time, get buckets.